It's still unclear whether the San Bernardino shooters were inspired by ISIS. The group says it's behind many of the recent attacks in Europe. But in its strongholds in Iraq and Syria, it looks like ISIS is losing ground. Syrian government forces recently recaptured the city of Palmyra from ISIS. President Bashar al-Assad proclaimed it a major victory. It came about 2 weeks after Russian President Vladimir Putin announced the partial withdrawal of Russian forces from Syria. David Lesh is a professor of Middle East history at Trinity University in San Antonio. He's also the author of Syria, the Fall of the House of Assad. Lesh says there's no question Russia's involvement has boosted Assad.
You know, the key from his perspective, does he think that this gives him a carte blanche to not make any sort of concessions in the ongoing negotiations? Or does he really think in a delusional way that he can retake the entire country? You know, my hope is that he doesn't feel either of those two things, realizing his military limitations without the Russians. The modus operandi of Assad over the years, you know, has been to hang in there long enough until circumstances change that improve his bargaining position or even improve his relevance. And with their victory in Palmyra, it serves Assad's purpose as well as Russia's purpose in trying to paint the Syrian regime as being on the same side as all of the other anti-ISIS countries and groups.
Well, how did Putin's withdrawal of Russian forces change the equation for Assad?
Well, I think, you know, Putin's decision to reduce the military footprint in Syria is in good measure a diplomatic salvo aimed right at Assad. You know, the way the Syrian government scurried around to make it sound as if there was a joint and coordinated decision suggests it was not. The only way I think Putin can claim the type of diplomatic victory he's really looking for is for there to be some sort of political settlement that, in perception terms, he brought about that may or may not result in removal of Assad. Probably not. But Assad surely sees the writing on the wall in this regard because he knows he cannot further improve his military position without Russia, as Palmyra showed, yet he does not have the manpower and resources to do it on his own. So I have to think that he realizes he must engage in a political settlement process, at the very least to satisfy Putin so that Russia will selectively come to Syria's aid when needed. But in a typically Syrian way, the Syrian government will drag out the process as long as possible. They'll say no 49 times until they say yes on the 50th time, making the process gut-wrenchingly complex and frustrating. But I think that Putin has put Assad on something of a diplomatic island. And I imagine Assad and his advisors are trying to figure out a way to catch a lifeboat off of it. You know, Assad may be compelled to accept some sort of political settlement, allowing for the appearance of a devolution of power while maintaining the ability to regain it over time.
David Lesh, when was the last time you actually sat down with Assad?
In 2009. I've been told that he has not liked some of the things I said, and perhaps the title of the book, The Fall of the House of Assad, was one of the things he didn't like. So he's vetoed any attempts by me to meet with him personally. However, I'm still meeting with Syrian officials in Damascus and Beirut from time to time.
With your perspective on Mideast history, have you ever suggested to them you might want to start thinking about time to go because, you know, hang in there as long as possible scenario that kind of ended?
Yeah, well, I sent Assad a letter suggesting that he make the concessions necessary to meet the protesting at the time and set a term limit for himself that will lead to him leaving power. He did not follow my advice, obviously.
If Assad continues to drag the process out, okay, so he remains in power. That's one thing, but it's another thing entirely for him to be the leader of an actual nation with a government, with services. How does Assad see his future, do you think, when we're talking a country that really is non-existent right now?
That's an excellent question. And this is where being in this presidential bubble, they underestimate the amount that the Syrian people have moved on. You know, they've been voting for people. They've been running things. You know, I remember one leading Syrian opposition figure who is now dead, but he talked to me in late 2012. And I asked him, why are you doing this? I mean, this life of deprivation and death surrounding him and constantly moving around and hungry and all of these things. And he said simply, because I've heard my voice for the first time. Because in the previous situation before the uprising, almost everything was controlled. And once people hear their own voice, it's very difficult to go back to any other situation. So unless they really see the light and therefore consent to some sort of managed transition that leads to an actual decentralized political system, I just don't see how Assad can rule over this mismatch of areas that is now Syria.
David Lesh is a professor of Middle East history at Trinity University in San Antonio. He's also the author of Syria, The Fall of the House of Assad. Thanks very much for being with us, David.
My pleasure.